Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
Well, we're joining you today from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where we had the opportunity to meet with a number of great friends and lovers of Israel and many visitors who are here from Israel. So today we get to meet with Ohad and Hello. Anat, who are with the Jerusalem Development Council, which is authority, which is a part of the municipality of Jerusalem.
We are a joint venture between the municipality and the government.
Okay.
We work in close with the municipality. The mayor of Jerusalem is the chairman of the JDA, but all the funds we are getting that from the government. So we have one goal, to develop Jerusalem, and that's why Anat and myself, we came to the NRB Jerusalem.
What a special goal. You know, for most of our listeners, they know Jerusalem from the Bible. But there's many scriptures there about...
It's mentioned more than 800 times.
800 times, and there's many scriptures there about the building up of Zion. And there are scriptures that say the Gentiles will actually be a part of that. Foreigners will help with the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the building of the walls of Zion. And so we see even our donations help with the rebuilding of Jerusalem. So, and I know I was just sharing with you, my first trip to Israel was 1978. I was 19 years old. Yes, now everybody can figure out how old I am. And completely changed my life because I was a biblical studies student in college. And to go there to the land of the Bible that summer, the Bible just came alive. But I have been able to witness the development of Jerusalem since 1978 and the beautification of the city. And it's such a special city. And when you walk through, especially the old city, but even Jaffa Road, you sense history. You can feel the history in the air. And of course, in the old city, you're feeling 3,000 years
of history. It's a city of combined of modern city on one side, on the west, and on the east side, yes, you can feel the history. You can touch stones from thousands of years ago. It's totally different. I think it's a unique city. For my opinion, it's one of a kind.
Well, I am biased, but I always say it's the most beautiful city in the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
People have such a great emotional, spiritual connection to the city, which is something you can't explain in words.
So were you born there?
I was born in a kibbutz near Jerusalem, Ramat Rachel.
Okay. Oh, yes.
And I still live there with my family now.
Uh-huh.
And Ohad is near Jerusalem.
Yeah, I live now next to Jerusalem. I was born in Netanya, but Jerusalem called me.
Yes.
I think that really, when you visit, when you're walking the streets, you can feel the special atmosphere of there.
So tell me, what's one of your most favorite projects in the development of Jerusalem that you've been a part of?
So my role in the office is to promote Jerusalem for conferences and events. Mm-hmm. There are many new projects that are taking place that you will probably see in the city in 5 years from today, 10 years from today. But mostly I'm working on international events, having to come to the city. One of the biggest international religious events is the Feast of Tabernacles, which we are lucky to host every year. But we are here actually to speak to people that already have trips and tours to the city, but they're not aware of the conventions or music events option. Also to relate maybe to younger crowds. And we have financial incentives to support that. So we offer from $30,000 up to $130,000 support to host conferences in the city.
Oh,
so a lot of people here are hearing this and they're very much interested in maybe planning the trip differently or adding
or planning a conference there, together, an event there, to know that there's assistance.
Yeah,
that's great, because it is an expensive endeavor to do something like that overseas. You know, one of my favorite things that has happened over the years is the use of the walls of Jerusalem for the presentations, the sound and light shows. And wow, what a special experience.
The Tower of David, of course, the City of David. And now we have the new, so the Kiosk Cave also has a new audiovisual presented on the walls of the cave, telling the story of the unique cave.
The story of the cave.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And you can also host events there.
Great. And what's your role there at the...
I'm here to convince people to come to Jerusalem and to stay at least 4 or 5 nights. So I want people to understand that Jerusalem is the base, it's the center. And from Jerusalem, you can go to the north, you can go to the south.
Yes.
If you want to go to the Dead Sea or go to Masada, always come back to Jerusalem. And...
Well, I think that our listening audience, hearing that, they're all saying, yes, I want to come to Jerusalem.
Yes, please
and
come,
I want to
please.
Stay 4 or 5 nights, so you don't have to convince any
of
us.
It's an easy job. Here, at least.
But can we talk a little bit about the archaeological finds there in Jerusalem? Because that's one of the highlights of going to Jerusalem, is the immense amount and the depth of the archaeological digs, and going all the way down to the Canaanite period and everything in between. First temple, second temple, which of course is the time of Jesus, and since then.
There's the new sifting project in Jerusalem.
Tell us about that.
So people actually can come and volunteer in the sifting project. It's underneath of it's Al-Aqsa. They took all the dirt from there, and people are trying to find archaeological things from the second period, the first period. You find like
coins, pottery, parts.
And
amazing
where did the
things.
Dirt come from?
From underneath the Al-Aqsa.
Okay.
So,
and Al-Aqsa, for our listeners, is on the Temple Mount.
Yeah,
so this is dirt from underneath where the temple would have stood.
So they dig and they took out all the sand, but for us, it's a treasure, because you can find amazing things over
so
there.
They were just throwing away the dirt, but the you all went and took it, and they started
sifting
project.
But everything was stopped because of October 7th.
Yes.
So now the project is not working.
Right. So we were working on bringing students over in May, and we were hoping that they would be able to be a part of that sifting project.
Yeah.
But we've
in
had
Jerusalem,
to
you can volunteer. Like
for now.
When we're talking about meaningful tourism.
Yeah.
These days, so we can come and we call it Tikkun Olam, repairing the walls.
Yes.
So you can come and go work at the biblical zoo. So you can help to preserve
the species
the animals, and
even return them to nature, the deers.
So if we had a group that was looking for volunteer opportunities, like they really wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Do they connect with you, or you can introduce us to the organizations that can
First
take
of all,
the
yes,
volunteers?
Of course. They can go through our website, itraveljerusalem.com.
Okay.
We have a brand new website.
I love that. Travel Jerusalem.
I travel Jerusalem. and you can find everything. You can connect us. You can find all the information that you want to know about Jerusalem, about restaurant, bars, about what you want to do. The website is so new, so you can prepare your itinerary for your visit before your arrival. So
great.
You put everything in the wallet. You can do whatever you want to do, and you can choose if you're telling the website, you're putting the dates, so we tell you, okay, if you want to go to the Israeli Museum, go to the Knesset, go to the National Library, say, okay, it's all the same area, do it at the same day. But if you want to go to the biblical zoo, do it on a different day because it's a little bit far.
In a different area.
So yeah. It's very innovative.
Well, we cannot wait for the war to be over and for tourism to return. Of course, small groups are going now, solidarity missions, and we just had one there. But we really look forward to being able to fill the buses and fill the hotels.
You're looking forward to seeing
over there. It's just life-changing, and so we want to encourage everybody to go. And, of course, it's a great economic benefit to Israel, tourism.
Of course.
And so is there anything new in Jerusalem that we want to make our listeners aware of?
There is the new National Library, which I definitely recommend visiting. It's a beautiful architectural building, but they have a permanent exhibition showing the most significant documents of the Jewish people in a very technological advanced way, where you actually see the real material presented right next to you. There's
The new Tower of David.
The new Tower of David, yeah. Of course, has a new galleries. They invested over $60 million into those galleries. They're now presented as a museum of Jerusalem.
Yes.
So they show all the history of Jerusalem throughout the years.
So the Tower of David, just for our listeners,
yes,
is right inside Jaffa Gate.
Right.
It is... Right, actually a part of the walls of Jerusalem in a way, and it has rich history there. So the archaeological finds or digs have gone way down and found layer and layer, and it is believed that that may have been part of Herod's palace, right? In the Second Temple period?
I'm not sure about that, but it doesn't have anything connected to David, that's for sure.
Nothing connected to David, that was just the name of it. But it was a palace, I believe, and so some people suspect it may have been Herod's palace at the time of Jesus.
They also found the mikvahs, the pools, during Herod's time.
Yes.
Underneath.
And it's beautiful, and they do sound and light shows on the walls and musical concerts. And so it's really, I just wanted to explain that for the listeners. So they have invested a lot of money into building
but
that up.
It's beautiful, and it must be. You have to visit the museum these days.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
And so the Kiyahu's cave has been renovated as well.
Uh-huh.
They have a new sound and light show projected on the walls of the cave, telling the most exciting story of what happened, what took place in the cave, which was first known to be the place where the stones were carved to build the first temple. And it's also a magnificent venue.
So I believe the City of David also has some sound and light show now at night. And one of the most exciting finds at the City of David was what they believe to be Melchizedek's, or you would pronounce it Melchizedek, his altar. Down there. That just blows my mind.
Right.
But that's because they've dug all the way down to the Canaanite period, which would be the period of the ancient city of Salem. According in the Bible, it's called Salem, where Melchizedek was the king and priest of Salem. And the archaeologist, I spoke to him, he told me himself, Eli Shukran, that he really believes that that would have been Melchizedek's altar, because it has all the signs. It was built as an altar to Hashem, to the one true God. It wasn't a pagan altar at all.
Right.
And that just blows me away. And that's why we really encourage tourists to go to Israel, to go to Jerusalem, spend as much time as possible, as you said, because there's just so much to see there. And of course, one of our frustrations during the Feast of Tabernacles is it's so crowded.
Right.
And it's really hard to get to see all those sites, plus take in the Feast of Tabernacles. But we try to see as much as possible, but maybe stay extra, as you said. Stay a couple of extra nights so that they can see everything there.
Then you'll be able to see the Western Wall tunnels as well.
Oh, yes, the Western Wall tunnels.
Still digging and finding new places, so a lot to see.
so much under that area. So the Western Wall tunnels are when you're looking at the Western Wall, and some people still call it the Wailing Wall, but it's the Western Wall. And then to the left, you go in what looks like a building, but you're actually going underground and walking along the walls underground.
And you get to the closest place to where
the closest temple. Place where the Holy of Holies was.
Yeah.
And then you can look down and you see all kinds of caverns that go down to the Byzantine area, to the First Temple period and everything. That is an amazing thing to do when you're in Jerusalem. Yes. So, well, it's really fun to talk to you.
We can talk about it for hours.
To talk about Jerusalem.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to get back there myself. I'd love to be able to go and spend a lot of time there, but I never have the time to do what I would love to do. I remember when I lived there for 2 years, I got my master's degree there. So right after I graduated college here, I arrived in the city August of 1980 and started a master's degree at what today is called the Jerusalem University College, which is right at the end, right there on Mount Zion.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful opportunity that was. I would love to have the time to go back and spend maybe 6 months or more just to live there actually again and to have the time to leisurely enjoy all of these sites and all of these places in Jerusalem.
Which is your favorite place in the city?
You know, I think it's probably sitting on the Mount of Olives overlooking the Temple Mount and imagining the temple there and the life that was taking place there. And then, of course, for me, imagining Jesus that last week of his life, when he spent a lot of time on the Mount of Olives. He was either staying in Bethany behind the Mount of Olives and walking over, or actually maybe spending the night there, going down and then up into the temple, then down, and then for the Last Supper, you can visualize them walking down the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley and up Mount Zion to where they had the Last Supper. And it's just such a beautiful vantage point to sit there and to think about all of these stories you read in the Bible that took place in Jerusalem. You could sit there on the Mount of Olives and actually see almost all of the major places that those stories took place. The ancient city of David, the Temple of Solomon, the Temple of Herod the Great, and I think that's probably my favorite. So I look forward to seeing both of you in Jerusalem.
Thank you for
taking the time today and sharing with our listeners about the most amazing city. And you have the most amazing job to encourage people to come there and to develop the city. So thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.